Day 76. 76 Trombones and the Agenda of the Ego Mind. One of the things that Michael Beckwith said in our meditation retreat was that the ego is merely unexamined perceptions, unexamined beliefs, and unexamined thinking. In my meditation today, I was in the front row seat, detached and observing my ego mind. I was looking with tremendous attention at what was troubling it and what it was consumed by. It comes down to things like separation, competition, being right, identity, comparing, and the jealousy, anger, and righteousness. It's been a fascinating observation. I had a difficult communication exchange with someone yesterday, and I watched my thoughts as the night unfolded. I watched how my ego mind held on to it and came up with script after script about what I was going to say. While it was doing that, I was simply choosing to observe it and not do anything, except be mindful that this was the ego's agenda, and my agenda is to love and try something different. I was observing the incredibly detailed scripts that my ego was laying out for me, making a really good case that I should call this person back, and this is what I need to say, and how dare they, and on. While there may be a time that I have to speak my truth about this, although I'm not feeling that coming anytime soon, it's really important not to use that as a cover-up for spewing anger or mean-spiritedness or any of those emotions that are based in separation. It's one thing to speak your truth and be calm and peaceful and loving, speaking from a slightly detached place, as opposed to barreling down on somebody. That happens in the human experience, and when it does, it's good to apologize when you see how you might have steamrolled over somebody. But I digress. When I woke up this morning, I kid you not, it was as if my mind was just waiting for me to come into consciousness, and there it all was again. I actually told it to go away and leave me alone. It just wouldn't stop. I knew that when I got into my meditation, this exchange was going to be there. The power of the meditation time is my opportunity to observe my mind without identifying with it. To observe it without feeling that this is the necessary path for me to take. To observe it and understand that the ego mind presenting this is literally fighting for its life. This is why it comes up with these methods and scripts. It's fighting for its identity and it's fighting to be right. In the wonderful book by Matt Kahn, Loving What Is, he says to love whatever arises. He also talks about how to master relationships and how to bring love actively and with words, to a situation where someone is clearly less than loving. He talks about how to respond in a way that represents the presence of love. I'm so fascinated by this. I've done it the other way most of my life. I've reacted to pain with my own hurt and anger. I'm tired of that. It doesn't work, and it keeps me in a low vibration, which I have no interest in being in. So how can I look at this situation and step outside of the ego mind? How can I bring love to this? How can I have a greater understanding or compassion? How can I allow the presence to come through me and use me as its vehicle? How can I allow it to emerge in my conversations and relationships as love? This is where practice comes in. It takes courage and really a bit of strength to let go of the role that I've played in these intimate relationships and to really choose to be the place where love reveals itself. When you live there, there's no room for anything else. You can only have one or the other. It's a practice, and thank goodness I have people in my life who are really allowing me to master this because I want to. I don't want to continue doing it the way that I've been doing it all these years. It's a goof that we can't see most of who we are. It's a trip that most of what is real is in the invisible realm. It's all energy. As Beckwith says, it has to be seen with the eye behind the eye and heard with the ear behind the ear. And how does that happen? Through meditation and practice. Day 77. You want to change the world? Wake up to your own magnificence. Today, I am acutely aware of a truth that has been picking up momentum and speed inside of me. If you really want to change the world, your country, your state, your community, or your relationships, the fastest way to do that effectively and with a depth of permanence is to wake up. People awaken in different ways. We wake up by being willing to take all the things we've learned, read, and know, all the workshops and counseling sessions, deep down, to take it all in and to put it into action. How do we put it into action? There's got to be a daily commitment to spending time with yourself, however that looks. Some people have that connection when they're in nature. Some people simply get comfortable being with themselves, the inner self, and being willing to go through the chaos, confusion, family history, and attachments. To be willing to travel through it in awe as an observer until you come out the other side and see the glory, splendor, and magnificence of who you truly are. This is not a religious thing. This is a truth. We are spiritual energy and spiritual essence having a material incarnation. We have filled ourselves up with the material education. This awakening happens when we take the inward journey and decide to add some things that connect us with the invisible realm, the spiritual realm, to spend some time connecting with the thing that's breathing you, the thing that beats your heart without any need for you to be involved at all. The intelligence that has somehow clothed itself in this skin, bones, and flesh is truly magnificent. So take time to deeply appreciate your body and to contemplate the magnificence of this machine. Make a commitment to raise the vibration of the foods you take in, stepping away from processed food and choosing instead to eat from your local farmer whenever possible. Everything is a vibration. And if you're finding yourself in a low vibration because of things happening outside of yourself, I encourage you to turn away. Go for a walk. Drink something with a lot of greens in it. Do something to raise your vibration and make yourself available to what's seeking to emerge through you as the solution to your situation. You're here at this particular time for a particular reason. And yes, waking up can be intense, painful, and unbelievably messy. However, it can also be unbelievably joyful and awe-inspiring. The best way to change the world is to change your life. And the best way to change your life is to wake up. Day 78. I may have pushed your button, but I didn't install it. Not so long ago, I heard somebody talk about emotional freedom. They talked about it from the context of not being emotionally triggered by what somebody was saying or doing, or not saying or not doing. I was immediately inspired and excited by that possibility. From that point on, I have always held within myself a desire to master this and to experience emotional freedom. To get to a place where, no matter what was said or done, it wouldn't affect me because I was affected by my internal world. I was understanding that whatever someone was saying or doing was coming from their internal world. I have a wonderful mentor in my life, Reverend Rainbow Johnson, who said, "I might have pushed your button, but I didn't install it." That's this idea that we're all walking around with file cabinets filled with pain bodies, as Eckhart Tolle would call them. The outer world is often triggering those pain bodies. People, places, things, circumstances, headlines, you name it. We get triggered and we have an internal emotional reaction. Our ego mind tends to present that to us as if the person or thing outside of ourselves is the problem or cause. Consequently, we blame, we get angry, we have resentments, we have judgment. There's discord in relationships, and on it goes. So I've been asking for insight to help me understand what it takes to be the revealer of love in every situation, particularly with our family. We tend not to talk about family stuff, right? But I think at some point, somebody's got to talk about this because we all want harmony. We all want to be loved. We want to be seen. And I think that the universal family is all craving the same thing. And yet, there's that one person, maybe it's you, in the family that has been called to be the healing agent, to be the one that is revealing love in every situation. I've come to realize that this requires us to truly not take anything personally, for starters. Part of my process of not taking anything personally is to witness myself taking things personally. The first process is to detach from identifying myself as being attacked and to just witness the self that feels attacked. That's a powerful shift right there. Once I'm able to have that opportunity and really be in that place, I'm able to go back even further and be in the field of love while observing myself having a reaction. Once I'm able to dissolve that, I'm able to see the other individual's experience from the eyes of love and to realize that whatever's coming from someone else is coming out of their internal experience. This is really big. If you're in a relationship, if you've got a working or family relationship, you have this opportunity. A great book to read is The Four Agreements. I remember when I first read that book, I threw it across the room because I was so pissed off at it. It challenged everything I was told. Don't take things personally? Are you kidding? I grew up being told that you should take everything personally. I grew up being told that everything was an affront and an attack. And how dare they? The other thing is that if you're feeling called to be the one that reflects love, you have to take time for yourself. You have to unplug so you can get tuned into the self within you, because that is the one that will be the revealer of this love. But even still, I can't do this on my own. I was like, look, I want to be the place where this love expresses itself. I want to be the channel through which this mighty and powerful energy that I call love has a place to emerge and come through. That's my relationship to it. That's how I talk to it. I'm thinking about the man who went on a shooting spree at the UPS office and the man who went on a shooting spree at the ballpark this June. I'm thinking about the man who stabbed people on the train and all the acts of violence that we don't know about. Inside each one of those people is the same divine expression that is inside you and me. When we see it in ourselves, we eventually have the opportunity to see it in another. Perhaps that's something you'll consider today. Day 79, a new way to be in our relationships. I wanted to talk a little bit more about this new way of being. One of the things that's true for me is that I'm able to see the process. The process at first was that I was on the merry-go-round inside the circus of my thoughts. After a while, I was able to release myself from the nucleus of that insanity and move toward the edge, where I was able to begin to have the observer's view. As time went on, I was able to detach from that ball of confusion that was my thoughts and really solidify my observer's perspective. As that strengthened, I was able to disentangle myself from my thoughts, which allowed me to no longer identify myself as them. So it became, I'm feeling sad versus I am sad. As I continued to pull back from it all and ended up sitting from the divine's perspective, I came to realize the other great gift of meditation. My initial identity was with the ego mind, and I then reached the space in between the ego mind and the mind behind it. This allowed me to see my true identity. For me, our true identity is the divine essence, that spiritual seed within each of us. This idea that much of who we are is invisible is why meditation and other spiritual practices are so important. They help connect you with that unseen and yet very real world. When we talk about being in relationships in a new way, it begins with this identity and this new self-absorbed, self-realized, self-experiencing identity that I would call spirit, divine, God, or whatever the word is for you. It's the feeling state of being the essence of life itself. As you begin to be in that essence, and as you begin to practice seeing yourself as that presence, that becomes your identity and who you are. Next, decide that you're going to be of service. This was a huge thing that happened for me a few weeks ago when my colleague and I were going through an interesting experience, and I was having an ego reaction, an emotional reaction to what people were saying. He said, I'm here to be a healing presence. Whatever's going on for them that's being projected on me, that's theirs. I'm here to heal. That really struck me because I knew it was a high calling. I knew it was higher than where I was, and I knew it was a place I wanted to reach toward. In the weeks that have since passed, I've had plenty of opportunities to really appreciate the depth of this choice. I'm here to be a healing presence. When you take that on, you're no longer a daughter or a partner or a friend. You take on a new role. What is the skill of that new role? To listen deeply. How can you sit there and listen to people talk in a negative way about you? First, because you know the truth of who you are. Secondly, you're no longer taking things personally, so you understand that's all inside them and it's being projected on you. You can recognize that this isn't about you. They're in pain. They're seeking love. They're seeking relief from their pain. As the healing presence, you're going to offer the space where, perhaps, that will happen for them by simply listening. This is a new way. I'm in the midst of practicing this. I have by no means mastered this. I had a really tremendous swing into the other day and was fired up. A few hours afterwards, I swung back into a deep sadness. I simply allowed that to happen. I allowed tears to burst out of my eyes while I was washing dishes because I was feeling pain and sadness myself. When you're awakening, it's totally natural for all that's heavy and in the darkness to come up because you're shining the light on it. When that happens, you have to love yourself, hold yourself, be gentle with yourself, and simply allow it. Just love it, and love that part of you that's having that painful experience, because that's exactly the role that you are strengthening. The ending is important here because the practice includes being available for yourself when you're in pain, when emotion is coming through you, to listen to the self that's in pain, and to simply allow that pain to come through you. As you learn how to do that for yourself, you're going to have a much easier time of being able to do that for another. This is the new way. This is how we heal our lives. This is how we heal our relationships. This is how we become a healing presence for this world. Based on everything I'm seeing, we need as many healing presences as we can muster. Day 80. The Father Within doeth the work. This is day 80. There was a time when I was wondering when this freaking crazy experience was ever going to end, and now, of course, I don't want it to. And isn't that the way they say it goes? What came through me yesterday in meditation was the Father Within doeth the work. Pretty appropriate message today, Father's Day. Last night, I drove down to Asbury Park to see Willie Nile and had a really wonderful time. Prior to that, I met up with a friend who's known me for 50 years. We had a wonderful conversation, and we were sharing some of the experiences we find ourselves in. Even though we haven't been in touch for a while, it was remarkable how similar they were. We've always been slightly on the edge, the ones who forsook the traditional way of doing things to carve out our own path. I felt understood. On the drive home, I had a full-on conversation with the one. It was wild. I wish I was able to tape it. I just allowed myself to say all the things I needed to say to it. One of the things that became really clear was that I cannot stuff the genie back into the bottle. Something significant has happened to me in these past 80 days. Things have changed. Things have been exposed to me in ways that I've never seen before. I simply can't undo what's been done. What is seeking to emerge does not have a past. That makes it very uncomfortable for my ego self, and sometimes just for myself, because I have no reference point. So this is active faith. I know something is changing. I know I've been changing. I know a fuller integration is happening. I know that transformation is going on, and I know that something is coming, and I don't know what it is. Of course, I want to know, as that would bring some peace of mind to my heart. The new opportunity is to bring peace of mind to my heart, even in the absence of what I think I need to have that peace of mind. As I drove, I kept talking to the divine about going back and forth from Alaska to New Jersey and being of service to my mom and trying to figure out what I'm doing. At that point, it became so clear to me that the Father Within doeth the work. In other words, this of myself, I can't do. I have taken this thing as far as I can take it. It's not to say I'm devoid of choices or that I don't have an active role in what's going on. I'm so far gone in this experience and experiment that there's no turning back. I can't get answers and figure stuff out the old way. It's about this deeper surrender and collaboration with what is seeking to emerge. So today, the Father within doeth the work. Father, Mother, God, whatever the word is. It's not the word Father, it's the idea behind the word Father. The thing within me that knows. The thing that's put this physical outfit on itself and named itself Camille. That is the thing within that is doing this work. And what is my role? Well, my role is to trust, to have faith, and to ask, what's mine to do? And then do it. My heart is wide open. I'm thinking about my father on this Father's Day. I miss him. My dad passed on to me in my DNA the gift of being an entertainer. He was, in the highest sense of the word, an entertainer. He was a phenomenal drummer and singer and bandleader and showman. I am all those things too. I celebrate him today by celebrating what he's passed on to me. The Father within doeth the work. Day 81. I failed miserably at being the change I want to see in the world. Yesterday, I failed miserably at being the change I want to see in the world. It was a stressful and emotionally draining day, which caused me to be unable to sleep last night, which has not made today a day where I feel at my best. My nervous system was overstimulated, and I allowed myself to go emotionally off the rails. I can feel that today, kind of like a hangover without the alcohol. The four approaches I'm practicing and bringing to my relationships are, 1, identify myself as the presence of love. I'm not a daughter, I'm not a sister, I'm not a friend. My role has changed. 2, I'm not taking anything personally. I have a deeper understanding that people's pain can be projected outward and seemingly be about me. However, by not taking things personally, I can do the third step. 3, be a healing presence. The best way I can accomplish this is to move to the fourth step. 4, deeply listen. Where I tripped up yesterday was with taking things personally and being a healing presence. It's unfortunate that I had to go through that again to get yet another reminder of what it is I'm not wanting to do anymore and who it is I'm not wanting to be. I just wanted to be honest with you about that because mastery comes with the practice. And I'm certainly going to have more opportunities to try this again. I can tell you for sure that the big piece here is the me that clung to being righteous and right, that clung to being in the ego mind with its filter of separation and right and wrong and good and bad and evidence and proving. I've outgrown it. That's what it feels like. It feels like much of me has outgrown this way of behaving. And now I'm waiting for the rest of me to join the new way. Family dynamics and friend dynamics and coworker dynamics are the core relationship dynamics that we have around us. They're there so that we can decide what is ours to do and which way we're going. Finding your center, identifying healthy boundaries, and choosing which way you want to go on all of this is the new way. It's not the easiest way, but it certainly is the new way. Day 82. Our individual and collective nervous system is overstimulated. I didn't really feel like making this video today, but I did it anyway. I've been releasing a lot of tears and just recently was able to calm down enough to roll tape. I've been thinking about my adrenals and my central nervous system because it's overstimulated. And I think that collectively, our central nervous system is overstimulated as well. On a collective scale, there's just too much heavy-duty information coming at us too fast. It's nonstop, and nobody can keep up with it. Each and every story feels like it's of such magnitude that people aren't processing it. It's stressing people out. Personally, it feels very similar. There is a lot of information coming through my life right now. I'm leaving on July 7th to go back to Alaska, and my mom is already very emotional about that, as am I. Family dynamics are what they are. I've been talking a little bit about how to be the change in our relationships, and I was watching Michael Beckwith's talk from Wednesday of last week. He was saying that when we have a problem, it's not about God coming down to solve our problems. It's about us moving closer to God, where our problems dissolve. in the Christ consciousness, in that moment of awareness, in the full expression of love, there are no problems. That was really impactful to me. When we have problems going on in our lives, not only is it an opportunity to move closer to this thing we sometimes call God, it's also an indication that change is on the way. This is an interesting concept to dwell on. I'm looking at my problems now through the lens of growth, of change. Day 83. Why are we so afraid to feel our feelings? The last several days have been emotionally challenging and draining. I said to my beloved colleague today, I'm in a situation that requires me to lift 500 pounds and I can only lift 100. I'm in way over my head. He said, you know what you need? You need a spotter. I said, you're right. I do need a spotter. Of course, then he said, do you know who your spotter is? And I do. The God of my understanding. The love intelligence that is present, though I cannot see it. So, yet again, I am turned more deeply toward myself and the light within. As we go toward the light, the presence, and the love, the problem doesn't have to be solved because it dissolves. For me, there's no place to go but toward myself. I have so radically changed. Everything that once was, no longer is, and to such an incredible degree. I know there's nothing outside of myself, so the only thing I can do is to keep turning back toward myself and to keep going deeper. It's a good thing this presence is unbounded and inexhaustible and infinite, because just when you think you've gone in as far as you can go, lo and behold, you've got to go a little deeper. And so I do. My beloved friend Sasha did a very brave and truthful video the other day where she talked about feelings and how we've been trained to not feel, but rather to be numb. We've been trained to take the edge off through denial, drugs, alcohol, sex, food, exercise, adrenaline activities, the list goes on. We're so afraid to feel. We're so afraid to feel that we actually believe that other people are causing how we feel. We want them to have said things differently and to have done things differently so that we would have felt differently. I've definitely mastered this avoidance, and I'm unlearning that. I'm unlearning a lot of things. In this effort of mine to be the healing presence of love, to not take anything personally and to listen with compassion, I can see that there's a part of me that's not there yet. In these personal exchanges, I saw the need to defend. It was a back and forth. I didn't say that. I didn't mean that. I saw the need to be right and correctly defined rather than to simply be a healing presence and not take anything personally because it's not mine to take. In a way, I'm glad this change isn't happening instantaneously. The slowed down experience of me being gradually able to lift this weight is really important for my evolution and my growth. I would say I'm in between two worlds. Before this, I was in the old world, seeing the new world. Now I'm in between the two. I would imagine after some time here, I'll eventually be in the new world. Meanwhile, today, I wish everybody I knew was here. I wish my friends were coming by to say hi and go out for coffee. I wish they were giving me hugs, but they're not. I miss my friends. So I have to turn toward the one that's always there. I know I'm not alone. The more I see it, the more real it is. The more I turn toward it, the more it turns towards me. Day 84. Do you know how to take care of yourself? Caretaking. I'm thinking about how we take care of ourselves. Do we know how to take care of ourselves? I only recently learned how to take care of myself in 2008, after my father's death, the end of my personal relationship, the end of my business partnership, my dog's death, and being fired from my job. This all happened in 8 months' time. It was definitely the darkest time of my life, and I was like the walking dead. It was because of that complete annihilation, that complete death, that I learned how to take care of myself. It began with basic questions like, what do you need? I would say, water. Then I'd go get myself water. That's how severe it was. But that was the beginning of a remarkable learning opportunity for me because I had learned how to take care of everybody else, and I know I'm not alone in that. Especially as women, we have a huge ancestral role with caregiving. We have not learned how to take care of ourselves. We often feel guilty when we take time for ourselves, constantly feeling like we have to justify it. That's why I love doing these retreats for women about the transformative power of self-care. Whether you're a man or a woman, the point is, ask yourself, what do I need? Ask yourself that question and give yourself what you identify. Need a hug? Wrap your arms around yourself. Need to sleep? Lay down and take a nap. Need some air? Get up from the desk and take a little walk. Learn how to ask yourself what you need and then learn how to give it to yourself with total self-love and without any concern about how it lands for anybody else. It's a big deal to learn how to take care of yourself, especially if you're taking care of other people. As parents, my gosh, that's such a big role. Taking care of kids, of your spouse, of friends, of aging parents, whatever it is, taking care of other people is important. But it must come with the balance represented in that one fantastic direction. Put the oxygen mask on yourself first before administering care to others. Right now, I'm going to practice self-care by making myself a grand bowl of cereal while watching one of my favorite shows, Chopped, to see if I can learn something new tonight. Day 85. You are complete already. I did just finish my meditation, and I'm not quite sure what's going to be said as this tape rolls this morning. Something is breaking open inside of me yet again. It's pretty remarkable that I've been in front of this camera for 85 days. Though I have gotten used to it, it's still not my preferred way because there's something additionally vulnerable about somebody seeing your face and your facial expressions and being able to look into your eyes. As I approach the end of my 100-day experiment, I have to look back again. There have been many significant changes. One of the changes is around alcohol. If this is going to be an authentic sharing, I have to be real about what I haven't said yet. I haven't had any alcohol in over a month. There was no alcohol at the meditation with Reverend Beckwith, and coming out of the retreat, I was sick with all the internal healing coming through me. This refrain from drinking has been organic. Organic endings are the best because they just happen. I had been saying to myself for at least a year that I knew there were certain habits in my life that, though I loved them and seemingly enjoyed who I was while doing them, my soul was saying, in order for you to really go deeper and to expand your consciousness, this stuff is going to have to be released. I've known that, but I haven't wanted to take action to release those habits. So this personal walk has included that knowledge while still choosing those habits. But now I'm witnessing the falling away of those habits without even thinking about them. And this is all fluid. It's really hot right now, and I'm thinking an ice-cold beer would be amazing. I'm not saying I'll never have an ice-cold beer again. That's not the point. Only we know, only you know, only I know the personal truth of our own experiences. Then we do our best to explain it to people. But mostly, it's just something that people see. They see a change in our face. They see a change in the clarity in our eyes. Maybe we've lost weight. That's another thing that's happened for me. I'm down to 138 pounds, which is just happening without me pushing or trying. There's nothing I have to do or accept or push away. It's just an observational moment of, huh, okay, that seems to no longer be in the mix. 2 weeks from today, I'm going back to Alaska. I've always have anxiety when I leave my mom and go back to Alaska. So we're preparing for that. I'm going back to Alaska without any expectations this time around. I'm just right here, right now, in the moment. This is further evidence of transformation, moving from the material into the spiritual. When you're in the material, you think that's where it begins and ends. We come from a place of asking questions like, how do I make this work? How do I fix this? How do I solve this? There's this idea that you've got to beat the pavement and make huge efforts because you're coming from the material world. When you begin to journey to the spiritual world, where all your needs are met, and you recognize yourself as a spiritual being that's perfect, whole, and complete, the questions become, what do I have to give? How can I be of service? What's seeking to emerge through me? It's a powerful shift in the relationship that I have, not just with myself, but with the thing that breathes me. It's certainly not a common way of being. When you're not putting in effort or doing it in the way that we've been trained to do it, the ego has concerns. The other day, my ego was like, wow, maybe you're not hustling enough. Maybe you need to hustle and get out there more and do this or that. For a while, I thought this might be true. Maybe I lost my hustle. It was an interesting thing to observe. But for sure, at this point, I can't go back into the world that's collapsed. It's not there. I can't go back into the me that's dissolved into becoming what she's becoming because that version of Camille is no longer there. The only thing I can do is to lean in, be patient, love myself, and to keep my practices active and a focal point in my everyday living. That's the best gift I can give myself. Keep leaning in, keep meditating, keep praying, keep reaching out to those who are aware of this journey that I'm on. Keep loving myself. Keep playing. Keep having fun. Keep being right now, here, not in the past, not in the future, but present right now, because in the right now, the breath exists complete, as does the answer to all my needs. It's such a significant shift to understand and really believe that all of my needs are met already. The bloom is already in the seed. The seed doesn't have to go do anything. The seed doesn't have to go make anything happen. It's already in the seed. All the seed needs to do is yield to the bloom. That's life-changing. I'm yielding to my bloom. Day 86, the road less traveled. Last night, I joined some high school classmates at a barbecue. Some of these people I hadn't seen in 37 years. It was wonderful to listen to them tell their stories and talk about my life in Alaska. Most, except me, took the path where they got married, had children, and went to work mostly in Manhattan. Some of them divorced and remarried. One has a wife who had a stroke 10 years ago, and it was really touching to watch him lift her up out of the car and into her wheelchair, and then to lift her up from the wheelchair and into a lounge chair. It was a beautiful demonstration of love. As I sat listening to everyone, I had a lot of compassion for how the system was failing them. Work at the same place, get married, have kids, was a formula that we were all told to follow. We didn't know it at the time, but we were the last generation to be given those specific instructions that included getting a good job, working at one place for as long as possible, and pouring your time into your work. Be loyal. This was the roadmap that was supposed to give us a successful life, a life that had security. That security was a golden carrot. It wasn't just going to be security in the present moment. Following this formula was also going to give you security in the future because you were going to get your pension or retirement or IRA. I watched these beautiful people who devoted their lives to that system share stories of not being treated well by it. It's scary that they're having such difficult times. It made me realize again in a very acute way that in the midst of the sharing and all the laughter and memories, I have taken the road less traveled. Work, lifestyle, relationship, security, I was most definitely realizing just how different my life is compared to others. I also realized that to do so, to live this authentic life fueled by my creative expression, my spiritual journey has been key. This is an important and often missed education. It's the missing piece that makes all the difference, especially when it comes to making changes and doing new things. Through this spiritual education, I've learned who I am and whose I am. We often think we are what we do, but I've come to experience another identity. I have an eternal identity. I have a spiritual identity. No matter how bad it's gotten, at least I've been able to reach in and rest on that sense of self. This is why so many people take their own life when they lose their job, because they've lost who they believe themselves to be. Even though I've had profound losses that have challenged my identity, T deep down inside, I know who I am. That's the only real security. This is what we're waking up to. This is what's collapsing, this false belief in a security outside of ourselves. There's no security there because you can't control what's outside of you. The only thing you can control is your own life, growth, and awakening. So even though I don't have many of the material things this path offered, I just feel like my consciousness is my security and that no matter what is going to happen, I'm going to be okay. I am okay. I already know that all my needs are met. I open my heart, hands, and mind to this knowing and say, I'm willing to receive the gift that's already been given. On Friday, I was asked to go to my mom's senior center because somebody passed. The woman who runs the center wanted me to come help with the ceremony. It was a privilege to look at these beautiful seniors and say what was on my heart and to talk about mourning, the importance of ritual, and making grief and loss okay. It was amazing. Many people came up and thanked me or said, I'm so inspired by your thoughts. Or, thank you for saying what you said. What a gift you have. We all have these gifts. So take the time to connect with the identity within you. When you learn to love the mystery of life, when you realize that the heart wants to stay wide open even in the face of somebody's pain, you understand that you're the one to hold the vibration of love and peace in your relationships. When you choose these things, you must wrap your life around your spiritual practices, whatever they may be. Today, I'm just grateful. 30 years in Alaska this summer, and here I am reconnecting with people from New Jersey that I haven't seen in 37 years. Why is this my life? Because I've taken the road less traveled. I wouldn't give it up for anything in the world. Day 87. Here comes your 19th nervous breakdown. I avoided doing this video all day today because it hasn't been a good day for me emotionally. I'm going to take a wild stab at this. I don't know if the meditation is loosening up hardened, hidden emotional pain, or if the current situation is just causing fresh pain. I don't know which it is. I think today was a little bit of both, but certainly it seemed like something came unhinged, and the something, of course, would be me. I witnessed myself being extremely upset about something that's been going on for a very long time, and something I've been trying to fix. I've been trying to fix a relationship, and I can't. And I'm saddened by that. It feels a little bit like a failure. As I say that, I hear my heart say, hey, don't ever give up on things like this. Maybe my approach has to change from the outer manipulation of people, places, and things to perhaps a more modern and mature and current day approach, which might include more prayer and more personal work. I can definitely see that I have some post-traumatic pain that goes way, way back to my childhood. I have a lot of grief, too, over my mom. She's still here, but every day I notice that her memory is a little more challenged. I think back to when I was in Alaska in April, before I came back to Jersey in May. I was with some friends, and one of the new people I met is a healer and was doing the Alexander technique on my arms. All of a sudden, my heart just burst open. A flood of tears came out of no place, from nothing. And I heard a voice say, spend time with your mom while she knows who you are. My ego believes that I need to understand why I had that very severe meltdown today. I really don't have to know. I have to take care of myself. I have to be willing to examine this and maybe even get some help because some big stuff got unhinged today. This is a tough walk for me right now. I feel like it's difficult to be the change I want to see in my family, to be the loving essence, to be the vibration of peace and harmony because there's a part of me that's been capsized and I gotta go rescue her before I can be anything for anybody else. This is day 87. And as the Rolling Stones sing, here comes your 19th nervous breakdown. You better stop. Look around. Here it comes. Day 88. Bring the little one home to your heart. I want to see if I can describe a process that I offer my clients. It's the opportunity to go back and get our small self. I'll explain it in terms of me doing it to myself. I recognize that I have this little Camille that was left behind. The young Camille, who is showing up now as an emotional, energetically active representation of the times when I abandoned myself or pushed part of myself away. She is popping up in the way I talk about, react to, or hurt over things happening now. I need to bring her back to my heart so she and I can be integrated and this separation between us healed. To do so, I get into a meditative state and then allow myself to remember where I mostly saw this little Camille. What room of the house? Where was she more often than not? I go into that room or area and sit down with her and make myself available to her. I say things like, "I'm sorry it took so long for me to remember to come back and get you, but now I'm here to listen to everything you have to say." Oftentimes, that little person does have a lot to say. They talk about how difficult things were or have been. It's a powerful experience. It may sound a little woo-woo, but I've had nothing but remarkable and miraculous results when I do this with my clients or myself. You stay with yourself until the past version of yourself has said everything they need to say. You continue to apologize for what they had to go through. You speak compassion to that little person as if they were right there in front of you. When you feel complete, you see yourself asking that little boy or girl if they're ready to come home. You tell them how important they are for this part of the ride and how much you need them and their spirit and their innocence. You tell them you can't go on without them, that they're important, and you're going to protect them and take care of them, and you're not going to let these things happen to them again. In essence, you are assuming the role of parent. Then you put your arms out in front of you, lift them up in your mind's eye, and bring them right into your heart. Literally move your hands towards your heart until they rest there. Take a deep inhale and exhale and really feel that little one there and really see them nestled at the center of your own heart. Sometimes they want to bring something from the room with them. I've had moments where my little girl wants to bring a favorite stuffed animal. Whatever it is, don't judge it. Nobody has to know what you're doing. Do this as many times as you have to. Do this for as many of yourselves that are left on the side of the road. Go back and get them, following the same procedure. I'm doing this for myself tonight, and I'm looking forward to it because I want to use this opportunity to offer myself the same healing I offer my clients. Day 89. Enlightenment is not about the absence of difficult times. I was on the phone yesterday with my roommate from the Agape Meditation Retreat, Jen Carlson, who is a very talented digital marketer and advertiser. We're bartering some services with each other, and I wanted her to take a look at everything I have because I think I have too much, as I've mentioned. 2 websites, 3 Facebook pages, 2 Twitter accounts. I look at some other people who have one of everything. All of their offerings aligned, and I want to do that as well. So I've asked Jen to help me and look at everything I have and give me some thoughts about it. We were talking yesterday, and she said, "I'm going to send you some questions that I send all my clients because it's important to know what your message is." And boy, did that just ring true for me. What is my message? I thanked her for that and said, "Wow, maybe this is something I have to understand." She said, "Yeah, this is about you being the brand." It's taken me all these years to really feel comfortable with that. I've never liked being the focus. It was usually just the radio show's name, like Cutting Edge with CeCe, or whatever I was doing that had the focus. But I've come to understand that this is something to embrace and consider, especially if I'm going to have an impact and help a large group of people. This is a template that works, so I need to give it a try. After we talked, I started thinking about this. I went into meditation again last night, and I fell asleep as a result of it, which was great. But I went in asking, what is my message? What is the message that gets expressed through me in my radio work and my public speaking and my one-on-one, through my classes and workshops? What is the message? So this morning, I had my meditation, and I did my prayer call with my colleague. As we were in the midst of our heightened awareness, I heard a voice say, "You are the message." Okay then, problem solved. This is what happens with meditation. This is what it's like. The subtle healing of separation between asking the question and waiting for the answer to asking the question and being the answer. Yesterday I was believing, thinking, seeing it from the perspective that there is a message outside of me, as if I don't know what it is, or that it's at a distance from me, or is outside of me. So when I asked myself, what is my message? I can see now that I was asking from a preconceived belief that it was something I didn't know and had to get. Today, I realized I am the message. I am the thing itself. There's nothing to do, but rather be. Do you know what I'm saying? This is the healing that's available to us. We think that everything is outside of ourselves. I still encounter this in myself, and though I'm someone who comes from a belief where I know that things are within, I can still have these subtle moments where an aspect of my thinking and my belief system relies on answers being outside of myself. So getting the hit that I am my message was a really exciting revelation to me. Also to note, it came as a feeling. As soon as I heard that voice while my friend was praying and doing his thing, my whole body lit up. I could feel it, and I knew that was a sign that this is truth. I am the message. Something has changed so profoundly and so deeply inside of me. Identities have fallen away so completely as I have become more aligned with my true identity and divine self, even though these last several weeks I've been in the human experience big time. This is an opportunity to be aware of the process of the human giving way to the divine. Enlightenment for me has never been about the absence of difficult times or these challenging relationships. Enlightenment is being in the presence of these situations with a heightened awareness and a deeper self-love. It's about being able to love the me that is still dealing with the situation. It's about being able to hold myself and hold a space for myself so that a healing can come through and be felt. It's about identifying with the I am. I am that I am. I've never read the Bible, but I have some awareness of some of the quotes from the Bible through the metaphysical lens. One of the things that really struck me today is the promise is one of renewal. This is a significant promise today, and it's not just a promise, it's a probability and a real thing. That renewal is available to me. No matter what has happened to me, no matter what I've done or said, no matter what the conditions are around me, no matter the conditions of my relationships, no matter what, no matter how cemented it appears, no matter how long it's been going on for, there is always an opportunity for renewal, for something to be reset, because we're dealing with a power and a presence that can rearrange conditions. It's greater than anything that I have been dealing with or am in the midst of, including this identity piece. I appreciate every aspect of the human journey. I appreciate and have deep respect for the complete and total breakdown that I had that night in California and the emotional mess that I spilled all over the place, because I am on the other side of that now with a greater awareness and the renewed hope to not give up on myself, to not give up on the promise of renewal. So I'm just really grateful I haven't abandoned myself or this experiment. I want to encourage you to stick with it. Whatever it is you're going through and whatever it is that's going through you, stay with it. Love it. Hold it. Examine it. Reach out and get some help to support yourself as you move with it, because something is happening. Something is becoming unhinged. Something is being brought to the light so that a greater expression can be revealed to you, and you have the choice to go with it or not. There are certainly moments when the updraft of renewal and transformation is so profound and you've yielded to it so completely that it takes you up without any effort on your part. I call it grace. Suddenly, the things that you've been holding on to for dear life, your hands just open up because this thing is pulling you and these other things just fall away. Yes, there can be grief and loss as a result of it, but what it's calling you forward and what it's bringing you to, and what it's revealing through you, and what is emerging is so much bigger. It's so real. I am grateful for this journey. When I started, I never would have thought that this is where I'd be on day 89. How could I have known? But the fact that I said yes and that I've continued to do it, no matter how much I've hated it along the way, no matter how long I've put off posting a video until nighttime, the fact that I'm here today and sharing this with you is really extraordinary. I hope there's something in here that resonates with you and helps you. I always love to hear any comments you share and what's happening for you as well. Today, I renew myself. Today, I unhook myself from what's happened. I don't have to continue to feel badly about the way I behaved. It happened. It was. I'm not doing anybody any good by remaining in that remorseful, low vibration state. I have a new awareness of what's happened, and I'm choosing to go to a different place. I'm choosing to rise up out of it. This is allowable. It's okay to do it. It's okay to completely fuck up and then have an awareness of what happened, communicate that to yourself and anybody else involved, and then rise out of it. That's the journey. And the ego mind is the only thing that would want to keep us prisoners to what was. It's the heart and the soul and the spirit that are always calling us towards what is. Solar energy, the source within, through, around, and as you and me, one thing happening.